Exodus 31 today on Through the Word. Pastor Chris and Jonathan here, your dynamic duo for bringing you the book of Exodus.
Dynamic duo. So which one of us is Batman and who's Robin? And before you answer that, remember, my family tree goes back to the days of William Wallace and Robert the Bruce.
Another great duo there, but what does the 14th century King of Scots have to do with Batman and Robin?
Robert the Bruce. Bruce Wayne? Obvious connection.
Holy genealogies, Batman. That's quite the stretch. But speaking of duos, we have a great duo here in Exodus chapter 31. Jonathan, why don't you introduce us?
Right. Verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have chosen Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts. Moreover, I have appointed Aholiab, son of Ahisamech, of the tribe of Dan, to help him."
So the dynamic duo of Bezalel and Aholiab are given the task of leading the craftsmen in the creation of the tabernacle. Only the best materials were used, and only the best workmanship. God called people already skilled and gifted, and then poured out a special filling of His Spirit.
And it's interesting, once the tabernacle was operational, only the Levites would be allowed to enter in and maintain the tent. But before that, a Judahite and a Danite were the ones in charge. It wasn't their lineage, but their spiritual giftedness that was important. While the priestly leadership was restricted, other leadership roles in Israel were not restricted to one group of people.
These men represent that amazing confluence of two key elements, God-given talent and Spirit-filled ministry. So what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? It means being equipped by God with the ability and filled by God with the power to do exactly what God wants done. It is God working through you. Micah 3 describes the prophet as being filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgression, to Israel his sin.
And John the Baptist is also said to be filled with the Spirit in Luke 1. "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord."
In the book of Acts, the disciples and apostles are regularly filled with the Spirit and given the ability to speak in tongues, proclaim the word of God, to heal people, and to share the joy of the Lord.
Now it's important to remember, Bezalel and Aholiab were not saved in the same sense that we are today as Christians. Being filled with the Spirit today is a sign given to believers, but this filling began with the sacrifice of Jesus, and it can never be taken away. It is a sign, a promise that Jesus will return. Under the Old Covenant, faithful men and women of God could be filled with the Spirit and have the Spirit taken away. That is why it says in 1 Samuel 16 that the Holy Spirit departed from Saul, and why King David cries out in Psalm 51, "Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me."
Both Bezalel and Aholiab were filled with the Spirit because God had a special task for these two men. They were to be leaders among the craftsmen in building the tabernacle. The tabernacle was to be set apart as holy, so those building it also had to be set apart as holy. Back here in Exodus 31, verse 6 continues, "Also I have given ability to all the skilled workers to make everything I have commanded you, the tent of meeting, the ark of the covenant law with the atonement cover on it, and all the other furnishings of the tent."
It's cool to think about how God poured out His Spirit on these men to do their jobs excellently. How amazing it would be if we all began our day asking God to give us His Spirit so that we could go about our work or school or whatever we do with the focus of doing all that we do for the glory of God.
Verse 12 seems to switch topics a bit, jumping into a section on the Sabbath. The Lord says to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. this will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so you may know that I am the Lord, who makes you holy."
The Sabbath was the seventh day, the day commemorating the seventh day of creation when God rested from his works. It seems like an odd place to put this passage, but it makes sense. God had just called for men to begin the construction of the tabernacle, the most holy place on earth. It would be easy for these men to think that they could just keep working on the Sabbath because they were doing God's work.
I have to admit, this is hazy territory for church leaders like us. With Sunday as our big ministry day, and often preparing sermons on Saturday, and with many of us working other jobs to pay the bills, that Sabbath day off just becomes a little elusive. As we were preparing this, you asked me if I had any good stories to share about getting burned out working 7 days a week. I don't recall the days, but I do remember working seven different jobs in a week. So I really appreciate that God put this reminder here, right after choosing these gifted servants for such an amazing work for him. They were reminded that everyone needs a Sabbath day. And once a week, they were given an all-day reminder that this is ultimately his work, that he is the Lord, that he gives them the skills, the abilities, the opportunity, and the calling, and that he alone makes them holy.
The chapter ends with Moses receiving two tablets containing the law of the covenant on them. Each tablet would have the full law written on it, half on one side, the other half on the back. In ancient covenants, each party would take a copy of the covenant with them, as a reminder of the agreement. It's kind of like a copy of a signed contract. Here, Moses has both sets, as they will be kept in the tabernacle, the place where Israel would meet with their God. But before they're put away for safekeeping, chapter 32 comes along. Join us tomorrow as we dive into a story of idolatry, revelry, lies, judgment, and intercession.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.
So, you never told me which one of us was Batman.
Well, I think that was pretty obvious.
Yeah, I guess. It's me, right?
Of course it's you, Boy Wonder. Of course it's you.
Wait. But Boy Wonder was...
Let's not quibble over the details, little buddy.